My next guest has been a king, multiple kings, in fact, specifically Julius Caesar, King Herod, and Richard III. An accomplished actor on both stage and screen, he began his career in theater in his native Ireland. Since then, he's made the jump to the big and small screens with memorable roles in HBO's Rome, Steven Spielberg's Munich, and the Oscar-winning film There Will Be Blood. He's currently appearing on Broadway in The Seafarer, and his new movie, Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, opens on Friday. Kieran Hines, thank you for joining us.
Not at all. I can't believe you didn't know what a chicken smoker was.
Did you? Really?
It's a place where chickens go to smoke. A
right.
I mean, what else do they do? I don't know.
So is your next buddy movie going to be you and RoboCop?
If RoboCop will have me, yeah.
Well, that was really fantastic. Wasn't that a nice guy, too?
Yeah, really sweet.
Well, first of all, congratulations on There Will Be Blood.
Thank you.
It took home 2 Oscars, as you know, Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Best Cinematography. And you played Daniel Day-Lewis's right-hand man.
Yeah, sort of a foreman.
How was your Oscar night?
My Oscar night was spent with my 87-year-old mother at a play reading of Goethe. It was my Oscar night.
Were you reading the play?
I was reading, yeah, with some people volunteered to read a play that a playwright wanted to hear read, to see if he could develop it further.
So that's what
I was doing on my night off from the theatre. I was reading a play by Goethe.
What else would you do on Oscar night? Well, of course. but did you have your cell phone on, like, vibrate so you could see who won? Or did you wait until the play reading was over?
We waited. It was over about 9:30, and I think we got home by 10. So we caught the end of the last hour of it.
And this was in New York?
This was in New York, yeah.
Does your mom live in New York?
No, she came over because I hadn't seen her since I came here 4 months ago. So she came over. She's determined to see the play.
Oh.
And so my sister came over with her for a week.
Oh, that's nice.
And she dragged me all over the place, to the Frick, to the Guggenheim, to
87?
The Tenement Museum. Yeah, she was in great form, fighting for.
And your mom was an amateur actor, right?
That's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you ever feel nervous when you perform in front of her?
Constantly. I mean, because you can't fool your family. You know, you can take on characteristics and try and develop a persona of different people on stage. But, you know, as they had you, gave birth to you, nourished you, they know exactly who you are. So you can't pull the wool over their eyes. I mean, in some kind of way, I don't know if it's not about a question of pride, but they're happy to see you, you know, doing stuff. It's more like that.
Is your mother ever critical?
When is she not? No. She's great. No. It's just a thrill for her to come and the play is really cooking. It's a really thrilling play, and it's a real sort of emotional ride. So just for the story alone, never mind the fact that I was doing a bit in it, it was great for her to see.
I want to talk about that play in a minute, but I do want to know, is it true that your mother thinks the best thing you ever did was play Lady Macbeth when you were 12 years old?
I don't know if she's changed her mind since she came out with that 5 years ago. There's no reason why she should. Perhaps.
But did she see you play the rear end of a horse in Cinderella?
Now, there's a debate as to whether I was the front end or the rear end.
Oh.
But somebody's put it out there that I was the rear end. For my own dignity, I'd like to think I was the front end.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, I can't really remember. It was such a long time ago. But I certainly was half of a pantomime horse. That's where I started.
From such humble beginnings. And now... Yeah. Part of this Oscar-nominated movie, this is what I want to know, Kieran. When you got that script and you read the lines, I drink your milkshake, I drink it up, did you have any notion that it would become this huge cultural phenomenon?
No, I thought they'd probably cut it.
You know what's happened to it, right?
I've heard. I'm fine, but suddenly it's like an iconic line that you're talking to me, or the De Niro thing or something like that. I've heard it's become...
Yeah, and it's a ringtone. There are t-shirts.
I did not know.
They've created
this.
A video. There's a website called idrinkyourmilkshake.com where people debate what it really means and when it's appropriate to use it.
But in what conditions would you say that to somebody? You could say to somebody, you're talking to me, but you can't say, hello, how are you? I drink your milkshake. Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Apparently the consensus on the website is you can say that when you've, like, one-upped somebody.
I see. So you beat them in a game or something, and you got them... I understand in the context. Okay. But wasn't it an extraordinary filming? There Will Be Blood.
It was.
I mean, it just...
Did you know that when you're in a film that turns out to be so extraordinary, do you have a sense of it while you're doing it?
You know that the work that's going on is extraordinary. And the commitment and from the script itself, this is a new tone to it. You know, it's a colour that you don't often see in a script. There's something different about the vitality of the script and the integrity of it, but you don't know what's going to happen from the filming of it to how it's assembled, between the editing, the timing, the fluidity, what's going to happen. The basic work, you sort of feel this is a power, and with Daniel Day-Lewis's sheer mighty brilliance and his ability to connect deeply and profoundly with work, and not only that, roll his sleeves up and work and work and work and work, and Paul Thomas Anderson's desire to create something that you just see these consummate artists working, but with their sleeves rolled up like real labour. And what was great, and Bob Elswit, who won the Oscar for cinematography, the quality of that work, and Jack Fisk, who did the production design, it's all of a piece. And when you see that, it's
the music too was remarkable. Yes. All right, let's talk about the new movie. Well, you have so many. There's Stop Loss that's about to come out, but let's start. We have a scene from Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day. And the film is set in 1939 London. You play Jo, a designer of women's accessories, mainly lingerie. And here you meet Miss Pettigrew, played by Frances McDormand. She's a fish out of water, surrounded by these very rich and elegant strangers. And her clothing is drab, but she's wearing this beautiful scarf she was just given by her boss.
That scarf, if I may say, looks perfect on you.
Well, thank you. It was a present. No. I think it's the most beautiful thing I've ever worn.
Now, the flatterer has been outflattered.
Sorry?
It's one of mine. The design. Last year for Mimi Couture.
My goodness.
You really didn't know. Well, that is a compliment indeed, madam. Thank you. Jo Blomfield.
Guinevere Pettigrew.
Oh, you're so romantic in that movie. You're so dashing.
There was a time I was set in, what was it, 1939, late 30s. It's a very elegant time, I imagine, for people of a certain degree of standing, especially somebody who worked in fashion design. So they give you these beautiful costumes. But it's a beautiful story.
It is. It really it's is very lovely.
Heart-touching, and it's quite funny and witty, but there's a real strain of a heart going through.
And it takes place, as we said, just as World War II is starting, but it's set against
this... ominously in the background. There's just a couple of references to it, and it refers to, because the main protagonist, which is the great Frances McDormand playing Miss Pettigrew, is a woman of a certain age who feels life has passed her by, and then suddenly this sort of late connection comes into her life from Jo Blomfield, but they understand the horrors of the war from the First World War because they lived through it. Whereas all the young ones are so excited about it, and they, oh, look at the planes and all that, and they have no idea of the carnage that's about to erupt. But that doesn't inform the film, as you know. The story is very light and funny and fast.
But don't you think it informs the film in a good way? Because
it gives it some gravity. Yes, exactly.
And it makes your love story so much more touching.
Oh, right, that they make a real connection, that life can be transient, and that you should make the most of what you have, and you really make a connection. It's true. But it doesn't. What I mean to say is it doesn't overwhelm it.
No, it's very, it feels very lighthearted. Yeah. So I'm assuming you had to do a lot of research, like at Victoria's Secret and Fredericks of Hollywood for this role?
I don't know Fredericks of Hollywood. I'd be a liar if I said I didn't know Victoria's Secrets. But no, I didn't. Maybe I didn't have the nerve. But I have to say that the lingerie on display during the fashion walk was so beautiful.
It was.
Absolutely beautiful.
Your character is much more beautiful than the other one that has all the stays and the corsets and the whalebone. I was looking at that thinking, poor women.
I know, isn't it? It's really
the
1930s. Teutonic.
Yeah.
They say, like, well, we're really preparing for war if the women are tanked up like that. But and then the other thing is so light and flowing and graceful. And, yeah.
Now, Miss Pettigrew is about to open. There Will Be Blood was in theaters. You have Stop Loss coming up at the end of the month. And you have this uncredited part in Bruges, which is in theaters now.
How do you know that, if it's uncredited?
Because I do my research, Kieran. Why is it uncredited?
Okay.
Is this a nude scene that you're ashamed of?
No. I'm in a cassock.
Okay.
But under that, I'm naked. That's nothing news to anybody. No, it was a favorite. It was just a tiny little role for 10, 15 seconds. And I was just asked, are you free that morning? Could you come and do it? So I did it.
And
it was great. Also because I know Martin McDonagh's work from theatre, and I'm a great admirer of it. And we'd met, and he just said, if I get this off, would you just play this little role for me?
Oh,
I said, sure.
How do you say no? We just had him on the show. He's extraordinary.
And then he got Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell to play these great roles, and threw in a bit of Ralph Fiennes being Mr. Nasty, which was a great thrill.
And you're Mr. Priest.
I'm just Mr. Priest. Nicholas Priest.
Now, we wanted to be inclusive, so we asked fans from another site, KieranHines.net, whether they had any questions for you. So they want to know, what's your favorite book?
The most recent one, depressing as it was, I thought The Road by Cormac McCarthy was a magnificent book. Star of the Sea is the one that comes to mind by Joseph O'Connor, who's just written a book called Redemption Falls. But also I loved Gabriel Garcia Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude.
And one more, have you ever tallied how many times you've been killed on screen?
No.
Want to make a guess?
3 comes to mind.
12, sir.
I have a poor memory. 12?
You need to look over your oeuvre, Mr. Hines.
My oeuvre? It's a wonder I'm still here. Relentlessly. 12?
Yeah. You need to take a break. You're in too many movies and in a play. You need to take a break. Watch your films.
And I just won't die, will I?
Thank goodness.
12 times.
Thank you for being with us today.
Not at all. It's a great pleasure.
Kieran Hines can currently be seen on Broadway in The Seafarer and in the film Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, opening March 7th nationwide. In Miss Pettigrew, he plays a lingerie designer. And if you'd like to hear him play a lingerie trivia game with me, go to our website, morefairgame.org, and click on blog.